Hey guys, welcome to Latinos in Real Estate Investing Podcast, a show that helps people create financial freedom through real estate investing. I'm your host, Martin Perdomo, a real estate investor and entrepreneur with over 15 years of experience.
Thank you again for listening and enjoy the episode.
Hey guys, this is Martin Perdomo. This is Paolo.
And this is Kat, and we are part of Martin's marketing team.
Yeah, so this is the new season of the Latinos and Real Estate Investing Podcast.
Get ready, because in this season, we're going to talk about what other real estate investors are too afraid to answer.
Yeah, I'm so excited. We're going no holds barred this season. We're going unfiltered. But enough of that, Kat. How about we introduce the real host of this podcast?
All right. So I guess everybody knows him already. He is a real estate investor, a motivational speaker, and an entrepreneur from Pennsylvania. He is also the host of Elite Pennsylvania Investors Group, an exclusive group where real estate investors can network and then learn the basics. He is also the CEO of his own multi-million dollar real estate investing company, Skilled Property Finders, and co-CEO with his business partner of a multifamily syndication company, Premier Ridge Capital.
And on his personal side, he is also the father of four children and happily married for more than 20 years with his wife, Annabelle. Martin Perdomo, thank you so much for giving us the chance to host this season premiere of the podcast.
Thank you guys for having me on my own show. I'm excited. I'm excited for this new journey that we're embarking. And first of all, I want to commend you both publicly for doing such a great job. You guys are doing an amazing job. Thank you, Pao. Thank you, Kat.
Yeah. So just to give the audience just a little bit of context. So Martin actually doesn't know what we're going to ask him. This is just, you know, all unfiltered, all raw. And what better way to start the season is to get to know Martin a little better. So if you're a longtime listener, you might already know Martin as this real estate investor, this mindset mentor guy, but I bet you barely know his personal side.
That's right. And I guess what better way for a newer audience to get to know the host and what to expect in this new season is by giving Martin a taste of his own medicine. So we are gonna be asking questions. We're gonna be playing a few games. So I guess, Martin, are you ready?
Let's do it.
So as an experienced real estate investor, you've met tons and tons of people throughout your career. Is there any memorable client or homeowner that you've met that you still think about until now that really impacted you?
Client or homeowner? I got to say the one that comes to mind is the recent one, the one that you edited with the that threatened to kill me. When we had the, we were evicting. Yes, she threatened to kill me.
Yeah.
So let me share the story with the listener. So this was, we bought this 3-unit. It was occupied. It was not performing. And there was this, in the second floor, there was this family lived there. Not judging. We think that she might have been abusing alcohol or drugs or something like that. She was living there with her children, with a couple of kids, adult kids, 18. Teenagers, kind of adult-ish. She was always kind of strung out. We would go there in the middle of the day as we were starting to rehab and like really turn the place around. And she decided she wasn't going to pay the rent because we said we weren't going to give her access to the basement to go and do whatever she was doing to the boiler. We fixed it. So she decided she wasn't going to pay the rent. So she got go. I was there one day and she says to me, "It's going to take you 6 months to get me out of here." And I just laughed and smiled at her. I said, "You must not know who you're messing with. I'll have you out of here in 45 days. And sure enough, we had her out of there in about 45 days. And the day that I went there, I went there with the constable to get her out. And we have it on video, actually. So check out my YouTube. It's all recorded on video. If you haven't seen it and you're listening to this and you want to see the visual of this, you could go to YouTube because we recorded it and Paul did a great job at editing it. So I told her, "I'll have you out in 45 days. I went there the day that she was, because she decided not to leave. We got the notice. Judge ruled in our favor. She didn't pay. And so the day came where the constable had to go knock on her door and say, you got to go. And she did a whole big scene. She cried and she did and she that. And they left holes on the walls. And she said, I'm going to kill you. You threatened my son. And I was just telling her son to grab some stuff. And if they want. And so anyways, that's the one that's a memorable one. And we share that kind of stuff in our podcast and we share that kind of stuff in our vlogs and our YouTube because we want to give people the real of what happens. And then there's some really good residents. One of the things that we're doing as we're in the holiday season right now is that we're sending gift cards to all of our residents, Walmart gift cards. It's not a lot of money. It's a $10 gift card. So any investors listening is a good strategy. And it's just to show goodwill because it's not just about getting people out. We don't want to do that as investors from a business standpoint and as a human being too, right? We want to show good graces to our customers and we want to show respect and that we honor them and that we appreciate them. I really appreciate it. If you're one of my residents right now, I want you to know that I really appreciate you.
When am I going to get that gift card though?
Well, you're getting something different. You're getting something different.
Oh, okay. Okay. This was a thing you mentioned, but you haven't fully shared. Mm-hmm. So can you share the story about, you know, being kicked out by your mom at a young age? Can you share the story about what happened and how is your relationship with your mom now?
Well, that's a really good question. So my mom came pregnant to the United States here with me. And when she came here, she sent me back to the Dominican Republic. Because she didn't have a place to, basically, she didn't have a base, right? So she sent me back until she could get herself together, find a place. And then when I was 5 years old, she had me come back. It's important that I share with the listeners that I was extremely poor. So when my mom had me come to the United States, at the age of 14, I was here smoking weed in the United States, smoking weed, doing stuff, drinking and doing shit that teenagers do in New York City, because that's what teenagers do. I'm not ashamed to say it because we were all doing it, right? That's what you do in the hood at that age, right? That's what we were doing. I always had a mindset, though, that, hey, I'm going to get out of here one day and I'm going to be rich because I don't like being poor. I don't like this living like this. By the time I was 16, my mom kicked me out 9 times. On my 16th birthday, my mom said, you're done. And so I remember coming home and she said, you're out. And I looked at my mom and I said, that's the last time you're going to kick me out. I'm never going to come back. And from there, I started sleeping in trains, sleeping in rooftops in New York City, sleeping in the parks. I quickly realized while I was out there in the streets that a human being, an adult, needs 2 things, food and shelter. And I made an unconscious decision that I was never going to go through that pain of not having a place to live again. So I'm going to own a lot of real estate. And that's kind of where my unconscious decision I made on why I wanted to own real estate.
Would you have done the same to your own children right now? Like, would you have kicked them out too?
Yes. And if my wife was listening, right, which she probably is going to listen to this episode, honey, if you're listening, we've talked about this. And it's yes, right? One day, when I was selling insurance, I sold insurance for many years, I was in this beautiful Audi in my nice suit, you know, going to see this client in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And my wife calls me one day, talks to me about my oldest son, Chris. And she's like, hey, hon, we're having trouble with Chris again. He was like in the 9th or 10th grade. We're having trouble with Chris again. He's got in trouble with some girl he was dating or something. I don't remember what it was. And as we were unpacking it, we were trying to figure out what were going to be the consequences for him. It dawned on me right in that moment how difficult it is to raise a boy, to try to raise a man. And here we are, my wife and I are together doing this thing. And it was right then and there that I realized how difficult it must have been for my mother trying to raise me by herself, trying to raise a man by herself in the ghetto, in the hood, kid full of testosterone, trying to do what he wants to do, whatever he wants to do, right? Whenever he wants to do it. So it was right then and there, I remember hanging up the phone with my wife and picking up the phone and calling my mom. Apologized to my mom and I said, Mom, I realize how difficult this thing must have been for you and I'm sorry. And it was at that point that I let it go, right? That I actually really let it go and I really started to have a really deep relationship with my mother.
I think you haven't mentioned him before in any of your podcast episodes. I just want to ask about your father.
My dad. Because, that's a good question.
Yeah. Do you think he would be proud of the father and the man that you are today?
Yeah. Yeah. My dad, man. I lost my dad about 5 years ago. I lost him in 2017. No, more than more. Three. And yeah, I think he would be proud of who I am today. He actually told me that he was before he passed away. And I wish I would have done things differently with my dad. I wish I would have had a different relationship. You know, my dad, I looked at my dad, and my dad had 9 kids with a bunch of different women. My dad wasn't much in my life because he was there the first 5 years of my life when I was in the Dominican Republic. And then after I came here, my dad was just basically non-existent. You know, I would see him when I would go back to the Dominican Republic once a summer. My mom would send us back there for the summer vacations and things like that. And that would be it. My dad would never call. And then he came here when I was around 17 years old. I was living in a room. I was renting a room. And I had this idea that my dad and his family were going to support me. And they were going to, and it wasn't that. Like, I still had to figure that shit out by myself. I was still out there figuring that shit out by myself. But again, you know, my dad didn't have a dad. So the compassion for me comes that my father didn't have a father. And ironically, my dad showed me a picture of his father one day. And I looked just like my dad. And I looked at this man. I remember the day my dad showed me this picture. I was like, my dad's like, this is your grandfather. And I saw the picture and it was like I was looking at me and my dad. I was like, holy shit. Like, this man looks just like us. You know what I mean? Like, this is us. Like, this is my grandfather. Looks just like my dad, right? Like, it looks just like us.
As someone who has that kind of relationship with your father, do you think that impacted and how you raise your own children and being a dad yourself now?
Absolutely. So, you know, I never had a father figure. So I miss it, right? I'm not perfect. I fuck it up. I don't know what it is to have a father as a teenager. Does that make sense? Because I didn't have one as a teenager. I only had one from the time I was a baby to the time I was 5, 6 years old. There's just not a book on how to do this thing, right?
Let's go back to your business side. Mm-hmm. So before landing your success with your current company, Skilled Property Finders, what other businesses have you explored? And can you give us like just a few details about them?
Guys, I've been in business really honestly since I was 9 years old. My first business was selling my own toys. We lived in New York City. I grew up in New York City in the first floor, right? A big apartment building in the first floor. My brother and I decided that we were going to take our old toys and we were going to sell them to other kids. So we started selling our own. We started displaying them on the window. And then we would go out to the streets. And then when the kids would be walking with their moms, we would then hustle them. Like, hey, look at this. We have Hulk Hogan here. You want to buy it? We're only selling it for $5 or whatever we were selling it. And we were just, so I didn't realize I was in training for where I am today since I was 9 years old. And then I had my first real job at 11 years old in a supermarket, right? So at 11 years old, there was a supermarket across the street from my house and they would hire delivery boys. So the ladies would go shopping for their groceries and then they would pay me $1 for every delivery plus tips. So funny story on that. I went to make a delivery, 5th floor apartment with a bunch of bags. So the strategy was this. If I got there and I delivered all the thing and the lady wasn't waiting for me, usually it was ladies. The lady wasn't waiting for me with a dollar or a tip to give me a tip. My strategy was, ma'am, would you give me a cup of water so I can spend a little more time and give her some time to go find some money or go find some change? Ma'am, I'm thirsty. Would you give me a cup of water, right?
That's ma'am, freaking clever.
Ma'am, I'm like, can you give me a cup of water, right? I'm 11 years old, guys, right? Give me a cup of water, please, so I can So she would go get me the cup of water and I would now have a little extra minute, right, to drink my water. So I would stand there. And if I didn't see any movement, then okay, I'm not getting a tip. I remember one time the lady didn't give me a tip and it was a lot. And I did my strategy, the water, the thing. Me being a kid, I would pee on their doorknob, right? I would pee on their doorknob and run down. right? As a payback for not giving me a tip. I worked so hard and you didn't give me a tip.
For you, who's someone who owned an Italian restaurant before, do you believe that the customer is always right?
Oh, dude, come on. That's a tough one. No, the customer's not always right. I disagree, especially in that business. Look, for most part, I believe people generally are good and have good intentions. I believe that human beings are generally wanting to help others and impact and just generally want to be good to others. But man, there's times that you have people that are just miserable people in life. You've met them. I've met them, right? They're just people that are just like it's really sad that people, they mistreat people because they're the cleaning people. Oh, I own the cleaning company too. They're the cleaning people, or they're the person serving them, or the server. Like, stop, that's bullshit, man. You treat people well. You treat other human beings like human beings. And we had a lot of that. Like, I experienced that. There is a time that sometimes you must fire your customer because they no longer fit your avatar or who you're trying to serve. So here's what you'll find. The people that are paying you your highest return, like your highest policies, they're paying you the highest premiums, are the people that call you the least. Sometimes you'll find that the people that are paying you the least are the people that complain and are calling you the most, and they make your life the most difficult. And there is a time that you have to have a come to Jesus conversation with yourself and with your customer and say, okay, you don't fit to be my customer anymore. So I'm going to end this relationship.
You know, you sold insurance, credit cards, you own the cleaning company. A phlebotomy that I had to Google because I didn't know what that was. But if you didn't land success in skilled property or in Premierage, in all of your past businesses, which one would you choose to revive and still do today?
None of them.
None. Why?
None of them. Yes, none of them. Because in none of those past business had I been fulfilled to the level that I am today. In none of those past businesses had I seen the vision and had the passion for what I do that I have today. None of them did that for me. Selling insurance was fun and I hated it. It was fun. It's weird because it was fun because it was the thrill of the kill. In none of those businesses that I had, was I excited about the future? Was none of those businesses that I was doing, was I fulfilled? None of those businesses that I feel like I was having an impact. I feel like I'm having an impact here, right? I'm buying properties that I'm turning into something beautiful when I flip them. And a family gets to go and live and create memories in there. When I'm buying a rental, I'm buying an ugly house and I'm turning them into something beautiful. And then now I'm creating affordable housing for people. You know, I grew up poor. So to be able to provide affordable quality housing for people, man, it just, that fills me, right? That fulfills me, that to help families. You know, I was, my wife and I last night, we donate a certain amount of money every year we like to give back to our community. So last night we were having discussion. We're actually writing some checks. One of the places that I like to donate money is to my local YMCA. I'm very specific on what I want the funds to be used for. I want my funds to be used for grants for single working moms that need childcare while they can go and work to provide for their family. Why do you think that is, right? I grew up with a single working mom that needed to take me to a babysitter so that she can go work at a factory to provide for us. So for me, it's always about having an impact, right? Like, hey, how can I use the gifts that God's given me today to have a positive impact and help others along the way?
So I did some digging, actually. So I know that in 2017, you attended a Tony Robbins Date with Destiny event.
Mm.
But how was your 2018 experience different now that you are a part of the event crew and you were able to do the firewalk not once, but twice?
I've walked on fire three times, just to for the record.
And how was meeting the man himself like?
So that's definitely one of the people that I look up to. First of all, that event, Date with Destiny, it's interesting you bring that up because my business partner is attending that event right now as we record this. This is her first time attending there. And she attended that event because I told her, you must attend that event, that one event. And again, this is not a promo for the event. I'm just grateful to the man, to Tony. That event shifted my life. I've learned so much from attending Tony Robbins like events, for just being in that energy of personal development and mindset and growth. And being in those environments and in those kind of Date with Destiny. And then I crewed UPW. I've walked on fire. I've jumped out of a plane two times. And I used to be a heights phobia. I used to be afraid of heights. And it was, you know, it's just all of this stuff, by the way, it's just mindset training. When you jump out of a plane or you walk on fire or you break an arrow with your neck, right? I've done that. I've broken an arrow, pushed an arrow, broken it with my neck. All of this stuff is mindset training. So if you're in business, right, if you can overcome that, then what can't you overcome? What's a flipping a little house? What is this ugly house? Shit, I jumped out of a plane. Shit, I walked on fire three times. So I got some sticks and stones, and so what?
You broke an arrow with your neck.
Yeah, so there's – yeah, I've done a lot of in an event, and again, all of this stuff is mindset training, and to those that are untrained and are not in that space, won't understand it, right? Or they'll think, hey, you're a weird guy. I am a weird guy. Yes, I am. I like being weird. I am different. And that's just some of the things, you know, that's what successful people do, weird shit.
Try to get away from the weird, mm-hmm. because jumping out of the plane
okay. is apparently too much for a cat.
It's too much for me. But okay. So everybody knows that you love to travel. You've been to a lot of places, especially with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been to a lot of different countries, like your home country in DR. You've been to the beaches of Mexico, Jamaica, Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
But which place would you say that you would never get tired of visiting?
Oh, still, I have so many more places to visit, Kat. Like last night, my wife and I were looking at a cruise because I got to get my fix, right? We're looking at, hey, where are we going next, right? What's next for us? Where are we going next? I got so many places. I have so much to live for still. I have so much to visit. I have so much to see. Hey, the Philippines is in my list, right? There's so many places around the world that I want to see and visit.
Just let me know. I'll create a list.
I got to tell you though, the one place that left a major, major impact from all the places I've been to, really, the one that's really, really left a major impression, number one, is Costa Rica. So Costa Rica, so you know, Costa Rica doesn't have military. Their saying in Costa Rica is pura vida, which means pure life. Right? Just enjoy life. Like, pura vida. Just, that's like what they say. Just enjoy life. And when the minute I stepped out of the airplane, I can feel the energy. I'm a big vibe guy. I could feel the vibe and the energy in that place was peace. And we did a lot of cool things there. Those springs, those natural springs, like natural jacuzzi type warm springs. Like, they have a bunch of those. It's just such a beautiful place. And that's why there's yoga retreats there, a lot of meditation retreats there. I get it. Like, I get it why they're there. Like you have to experience it. You have to go there to understand why they're there. I met an Italian guy that was a tour. He took us to, that was the first time I went to a black sand beach. And I was talking to the guy, and he's from Italy. And I was like, hey, how'd you wind up here? He was like, I just came here on vacation. I decided to stay. How could you not want to stay here? I was like, yeah, I fucking get it. How could you not? Like, I get it, dude. I see it. Yeah. So he just decided to stay there, right? Like 15 years later, the guy's still there. If any of the listeners get the opportunity to go visit Costa Rica, visit. It's a great place. We want to go back there. We actually talked about buying a place there, right? Because we liked it so much. So, and then the other place that we like is Jamaica. We went to Jamaica. Jamaican food is it's just amazing. I love Jamaican food. And the beach is beautiful. Great people. Just Jamaica's a great place.
I'd expect his answer actually to be like his hometown, Dominican Republic. But yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, DR is nice. And yeah, I was having this debate with my mom. We were debating about the beaches in DR. And they're not as nice as the other beaches. There's nice beaches, but there's much nicer beaches. Like, there's a lot of nicer places around in the Caribbean, too.
Being married for more than 20 years with your wife, Annabelle, are there any instances where your marriage and your business clash?
Oh, man, more often than I would like to admit. So especially early on, because when you're early in the marriage and you're younger and you're less mature. So, yes, we've clashed because sometimes I just go, right? So I put blinders on and I see nothing. I hear nothing. I'm going to achieve my goal. I think that's a good trait. That's one of my good traits, and also could be construed as not such a good trait because it will impact. I don't see my wife. I don't hear her. I just go. So yes, it's had its implications. We've had issues in the past, major issues in the past. And I've learned to manage that because it never goes away. It's not going away. It's who I am. It's my DNA. I've been freaking hustling since I was 9 years old. My wife tells me, we talk about retirement. I'm like, retirement? What are you talking about? I'll always be doing, like, I'll retire. Like, I'll be 75. I'll be 80. And yeah, I won't be going as hard as I'm going now. Maybe not, but I'll be coaching. I'll be leading. I'll be doing something. Like, I'll be still inspiring, helping others, doing something. Like, stop? Are you kidding me? I'm not stopping.
One's stopping Martin Perdomo.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that, you know, my wife learned to accept me for who I am and embrace me for who I am. And I've learned to accept her for who she is. And I've learned to also give her what she needs as well, right? Because of marriage, it's very important that you understand each other, who you are, and then give each other what you need. Great book. If you're married and you're listening to this, I'm going to make a recommendation. It's a great book, The 5 Love Languages. I'm going to recommend you read that book and understand your spouse's love language. We all need different things to feel love. And my wife's primary love language, watch this, right, is time. She doesn't want me to give her nothing. She used to say to me when she was young, I prefer us living a little hut or be broke and not have nothing and have you, because her primary love language is time. She doesn't prefer that. She really does not prefer that. I can assure you of that. She understands that today. But as a young woman.
Almost moved.
But as a young woman, that was the way she would express herself. After learning that what she was telling me was, she wanted time. She wanted more quality time with me. I then became more intentional on giving her that. Quality time is her and I doing something special alone. It's a dinner date. That's going to a movie. That's going to the mall. Just her and I, or having deep conversations. Her and I going for a walk, going for a picnic.
Thank you, Martin, for giving us the opportunity to host the season premiere of the new season of the Latinos in Real Estate Investing.
Wait, what's that? I like the hat.
I like that. But, of course, before we end it, how about we play a little game? So
let's do it.
We have this thing called Untitled. So this is going to be a new segment that, again, the audience should expect from the coming episodes. So Untitled, we're going to ask a series of questions. No holds barred. You don't have to think of anything else. No explanations are needed. So, Martin, are you ready?
That's a yes.
All right.
What's happening? Okay, go. Let's go. Let's start.
All right. So, real estate is blank.
Amazing.
The best song to dance is to blank.
Merengue.
Nice one. Inflation is
shitty. Right now. Okay.
Blank annoys me.
Blank annoys me. What annoys me? People that can't keep up with me annoy me.
All right. I'm good at cooking blank.
Ooh, I'm good at cooking moro de guandule o de habichuela. I don't know. That's in Spanish, but rice and beans, basically.
All right. And lastly, on my end, my favorite type of pizza is blank.
Oh, ham and pineapple Hawaiian all day long.
Yes.
On your pizza. All right. So let's move on. Don't give me a text this time. I will be giving you two choices. You're just going to choose one. You don't have to explain why you chose that one. So are you ready for this one?
Go.
Okay, so Martin, wine or beer?
Wine.
Success or happiness?
Success brings happiness.
No, just one.
Success brings happiness.
I'll learn. But would you rather be rich and famous or rich and unknown?
I'd rather be rich. Don't matter. I'm rich. Rich. I've always wanted to be rich since I was 5 years old. Rich.
All right. But would you rather
rich
have
and unknown.
No company or bad company?
No company.
Logic or emotion?
Logic.
Annabelle or your mom?
I got to go with mom.
Growth or security?
Growth.
NYC or Pennsylvania?
PA. I know, my New Yorkers, I know. You guys listen. You're not gonna love me right now, but they're gonna take my New York card from me. I'm a New Yorker, right? I'm always New Yorkers, born and raised here, but I'm sorry, I won't. I get peace.
Last one. Your three sons or your only daughter?
Ooh, all of them, every single one of them. Sorry, you're not gonna do that one.
And that is it for the entitled section.
Yeah. So again, Martin, thank you so much for having us on the podcast. Even if it's the other way around. But of course, since that you're the official host of this podcast, why don't you do the outro for us?
Okay, guys. Well, thank you for listening. And we're excited about this new season coming up. Thank you for staying on. If you've stood on this long, I'm really just thank you for just hearing all of my stuff from my past and listening to Pao and Kat and myself here. Thank you so much. I'm excited for the future's really bright. I'm excited for what this podcast is, the direction that we're taking this podcast in. We can't do it without you guys listening and your support and or watching. So please make sure that you continue to listen. We have some exciting themes coming up. We got some exciting guests coming on the show. We're improving this podcast a little bit as much as we can every day and every time we record a new episode. So again, I just really just want to just gratitude. Thank you guys for listening. I'm not asking for anything. Just thank you guys for listening to this podcast. Really, really grateful. And thank you two guys for this wonderful idea of putting this together.
Thank you, Martin. Anytime. Maybe next time we can put your mom.
There you go.
We can invite your mom to the podcast.
There you go. You're going to need a translator because she doesn't speak English that well, but we could bring her on.
Oh, okay. Well, you can translate.
I do my Spanish. Rough. I'm doing a podcast later in Spanish. And I told my wife this morning, I was like, shit, babe, I got to do a Spanish podcast. So I get my Spanish going. It was rough last time I did, but I'll do it. And guys, and this is Martin Perdomo, the Elite Strategist in Latinos in Real Estate Investing Podcast. Thanks again for listening. Appreciate you guys. Peace out.